So, Gabby, do you know what book we're going through? Have you heard?
I don't know.
You didn't hear?
No.
Wow. I thought it was a talk of the town. Anyone else know what book we're going through?
Luke.
Yeah, Luke. We're going to the book of Luke from now until May. Yeah. What? Yeah. But we're going to have some different parts. So this first part for the first 4 weeks, so last week was one of them, so for today and then 2 more weeks after this, we're going to look at some other people besides Jesus and Luke. So last week we actually took a look at the author, Luke. Today we're going to look at Mary, Jesus' mother, okay? And this, I hope that if you get one thing out of today, I hope this is what you know. I hope this is what you believe or what you want, desire to believe by the end of the day, okay? By the end of the night. That God looks out for you, okay? Now and in the future, God always is looking out for you, okay? So now, today we're going to look at Mary, and Mary's going to hopefully show us this, okay? And Mary is Jesus' mom. There's some other Marys in the Bible, but this Mary is Jesus' mom. We don't know much about who Mary was before this angel appears to her and says, hey, you're going to have a son, and the son isn't going to be any normal son. This son is going to be the Messiah, the Christ, the Savior of the world. And Mary is probably just this teenage girl, this normal teenage girl who's not married yet. She's like engaged in a way, and she's not married, and she gets this news, and she is like, she's just this random girl. And she's amazed, okay? She's amazed. And she actually goes, before this, she goes and visits one of her relatives, Elizabeth, okay? And Elizabeth has a baby as well, who's probably like 5-6 months older than Jesus, who Mary's going to have. And when Mary visits Elizabeth, the baby inside Elizabeth's womb actually jumps. And like, because the baby inside Elizabeth's womb knows that it is in the presence of the Savior of the world, Jesus, who's inside of Mary's womb. So once Mary realizes this, Mary actually says this really amazing, these really amazing words. She sings it. It's actually called the Magnificat is the fancy word for it, but really it's just a praise that Mary gives to God. So we're going to look at this praise that Mary gives to God after she's like, yes, this is the Savior of the world that is growing inside of me. How amazing is that? So I'm going to read Luke 1, 46 through 55, okay? And this is Mary speaking, and Mary is just praising God. So listen to what Mary says after she really has come to believe that Jesus, the baby growing inside of her, is the Savior of the world. This is what Mary says. And Mary said, my soul magnifies the Lord, and my spirit rejoices in God my Savior, because God has looked with favor on the humble condition of his servant. Surely, from now on, all generations will call me blessed, because the Mighty One has done great things for me, and his name is holy. His mercy is from generation to generation on those who fear him. He has done a mighty deed with his arm. He has scattered the proud because of the thoughts of their hearts. He has toppled the mighty from their thrones and exalted the lowly. He has satisfied the hungry with good things and sent the rich away empty. He has helped his servant Israel, remembering his mercy to Abraham and his descendants forever, just as he has spoken to our ancestors. Those are Mary's words after she's found out that Jesus, the Savior of not just the Jewish people, but of the world, is living inside of her. Let me pray. God, would you speak to us this morning through your word, as you speak through Mary's words here? Would they ring true in our hearts? Would we take hold of what you're speaking to us? Would we hear you speak and we know that you're present? And would we be assured that you are looking out for us always? We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. All right, so I don't know if you guys have ever done this before, but I kind of have this tendency sometimes to miss what's right in front of me. You know, maybe like you're looking for your phone. Have you guys ever looked for your phone before? And you're like, where's my phone? Where's my phone? And it's like right in your hand. Yeah, okay. Well, this is kind of worse, okay? And this probably, like, you probably hear stories like this all the time, but sometimes, you know, I'll be wanting to go get, like, a snack from the fridge or something, or from, like, the little pantry, I guess. Never had a pantry before, but, no, I used to just have, like, a... Anyways, so that's not important. So I go to, like, my pantry or the fridge, and I'm like, okay, I'm looking for... I just got these really cool, like, mushrooms. They're, like, in the shapes of mushrooms, and it's, like, there's chocolate on the top, and there's, like, it's, like, a cracker, and it's really good. And I go and I'm like, okay, I'm looking for these, and I can't find them, okay? I'm like scouring, I'm like looking at things, I'm looking really good. And then I'm like, Cass, do you know where those snacks are that I really love? And Cass is like, no, why don't you just look? And I'm like, I did look. And she's like, all right, I'll come find them. And she comes and she finds them right away, you know? That's kind of a embarrassing story. But anyways, that's just the kind of when I'm looking for something, maybe I'm just lazy. Maybe I'm not very careful. Maybe I don't really pay attention to what's going on in front of me. But I can't really find it all the time. I'm not a very careful. I don't really pay attention. Exactly. The good news is, okay, is that God is not like me. Okay, God is not like me. God is careful. He pays attention. God looks out for his creation, right? God isn't lazy or not careful in how God looks out for us, but actually he looks out for us now and in the future. God won't take his gaze off of us. God sees us and sees you and doesn't look away and doesn't misplace you. But God sees you right now and will always and looks out for you. And especially for those of you who maybe feel overlooked or unimportant, God sees you and looks out for you. And you know what? We see this here in Mary's words. Mary has a bunch of words here, and we could look at them forever, but we're going to look at this one thing, that God sees you and looks out for you, okay? How do we see this in Mary's words, okay? So Mary has just come to truly believe that the Savior of the world is living inside of her, and so these words just flow out of her. She's like, wow, this is amazing, and these words just flow out of her, right? And what does she say? She opens up with these words in verses 46 through 49. Her first words are these: my soul magnifies the Lord, and my spirit rejoices in God my Savior. Why? Why does she rejoice? Because he has looked with favor on the humble condition of his servant. Surely from now on all generations will call me blessed, because the Mighty One has done great things for me, and his name is holy. All right, Mary says this. She was kind of a nobody, okay? She was just a young teenage girl in a village in a random place. And yet, what did she say? God has looked upon me. God has seen me. God has looked upon the humble estate of his servant. Mary probably felt overlooked at times, unimportant, but God saw her and looked at her and didn't misplace her, but sees her and looks at her. So much so that he chose her, this seemingly unimportant young woman, to carry the Savior of the world. Right? So Mary starts out with that. She was a normal girl, yet God is looking out for her. And then Mary goes on, okay, in verse 50. Not only has God looked out for her once, but Mary can look back and look forward in the past and the future and see how God has looked out for her and for actually all of creation. If you look in verse 50, his mercy is from generation to generation on those who fear him. Mary's like, not only has God looked out for me, but God's mercy has been from generation to generation for all who fear him. That means generations in past. That means this generation right now. That means all of us sitting here, God's mercy is for us. God is looking out for you as you're sitting here. Mary lets us know that. God looks out for us now and in the future. And Mary, this young girl, sings this magnificent song of how God looks out for us, of how God sees us, how God can count us and name us and doesn't lose track of us. Right? And I'm just going to read verses 51 through 55 again, because it's just, again, showing us how does God look out for his people. And Mary says these verses in 51 through 55. God has done a mighty deed with his arm. He has scattered the proud because of the thoughts of their hearts. He has toppled the mighty from their thrones. And who has he exalted? He's exalted the lowly, the unimportant, the overlooked. He has satisfied the hungry with good things. Those who are needy, God has satisfied. He's looked out for and sent the rich away empty. He has helped his servant Israel, remembering his mercy to Abraham and his descendants forever, just as he spoke to our ancestors. You know, God's people, Israel, they went through this whole, so many times they were God's people, and they turned to God, and they turned away from God, and they turned to God, and they turned away from God. But what is Mary saying? Mary's saying that as many times as Israel turned away from them, God saw them and was looking out for them, and his mercy extended to them. And I think that goes to us as well. As many times, as overlooked or unworthy or insignificant as you feel right now, God's mercy and love is for you. God is looking out for you. And that is an amazing truth. So as you think about this truth, okay, that God looks out for you, that God sees you and looks out for you, it makes me think of people I love as I think about, like, looking out for people, okay? Especially Junia, okay? There's not really a moment, There are moments, but I like to think that there aren't really moments where I don't, like, have eyes on her, where I don't know where she is, where she's, like, unsafe because, you know, I don't know where she is. Like, right, we just moved and we have, like a big room, kind of, that, like, Junior will play in on the other half, and, like, maybe I'll be in the kitchen or something. And she has, like, this ball pit, and every time, like, Junior, like, starts crawling somewhere else, you know, I stop what I'm doing, and I look at her, and I make sure I always know what she's doing because I want to make sure she's safe, You know, I want to make sure that she doesn't get in any trouble, or she's not like touching something that's going to hurt her or something like that. So I always know where she's looking, where she's going, what she's doing. And of course, you know, maybe sometimes, you know, there's probably been times where I, you know, she fell and because I wasn't looking, you know, but I like to think that my heart is to make sure that she is safe, that I'm always looking out for her. And as I think about this truth, I think that kind of translates to how God looks out for us. There's never a moment where God is not looking out for you, where God is like, oh, wait, where'd Jackie go? Like, where is she? God always knows where we are. And God's desire is to know where we are and to keep us safe. And that doesn't mean, you know, sometimes there's times where Junior might be doing something a little bit adventurous where she might get hurt. But the journey of doing it and learning it and maybe falling and taking a little bruise or scratch or something, maybe that's part of the journey. Maybe that'll actually help her grow. So it doesn't mean that we're always going to feel safe or not hurt. But the fact of the matter is that every time we fall, we always fall into the arms of God. There's no other place that we fall because God is looking out for us. The one who's looking out for you, those are the arms that you get to fall into every time. Every time you fall. So if God looks out for us like this, if we truly believe that God looks out for us like this, that the God of the universe, the God that created everything, the God that loves you, the most powerful, the one who is the most powerful, infinite God, looks out for you like this, it actually changes things, right? Because it actually enables us to not live in fear. It enables us to actually risk sometimes. And I'm not just talking about like going out and like bungee jumping, but it actually enables us to risk in how we love others and how we treat others. Because the only place that we can fall and the only place that we can fail is into the arms of God. And God is looking out for you. And so maybe this is prompting you. Maybe there's a conversation that God is prompting you to have. Because you know that even if you fail at that conversation, even if you approach that person who you need to repair a relationship with, or if you approach the person who's maybe an outcast and you don't know what to say, the place that you fail is into the arms of God. And so you can do that. Right? Or maybe God is drawing you to a specific person or to a specific place or thing. And God wants you to go there, even though it might be scary. There's nothing to fear because God is looking out for you. Right? God, think about this question. How might God be asking you to use your time and your commitments today or this week or this month? Because the only place that you can fail and fall is into the arms of God. And God is good and mighty. So the truth is, this is the truth, okay, that I think changes everything, is that God is looking out for you. And we actually see this in Jesus. We see God looking out for us in Jesus. Because as many times we are going to fail, and when we fall, we'll fall into God's arms. But as many times as we fail, the reason we can fall into God's arms is because of Jesus. It's because Jesus went before us and lived perfectly and actually draws us into the arms of God the Father. So the truth is that God is looking out for you. And God will always be looking out for you. And so, question for you. How are you going to let this truth move you tonight or tomorrow or this week? How are you going to let God and this truth move you? All right? Yes, Alejandro. No, you can answer if you want. I'd love for you if you did. Well, I did ask a question if you want. I said, how are you going to let this truth move you? Praying, yeah, sure. Yeah, actually talking to God, definitely. That's really great. And you know, we'll probably have a few minutes to talk together about this, but I'm going to pray, and then we're going to sing one more song about being seen, known, and loved by God, the God who looks out for us. And as we sing that song, reflect on this truth that God is looking out for you, that God knows you, that God sees you. So let me pray. God, thank you that you know us, that you see us, that you look out for us. Even when we fail, when we fall, when we sin, Jesus draws us to you. We fall into your arms because of Jesus. Or would you change us? Would you transform us? Would you enable us not to live by fear, but in faith and joy and goodness, because you are drawing us to you over and over again, and you're looking out for us. We thank you. We love you. We thank you for your love for us. We pray this all in Jesus' name. Amen.